So the new parak starts on, in the middle of Mem Chesed and Aleph. So the Mishnah tells us, "Vas simin hatachdon ad shelo ba ha'elyon, ocho letzes omis yabema." So this is kind of a continuation of what we saw yesterday at the end of the last parak. The Mishnah says, let's say, for example, the lower signs, meaning the signs of pubic hairs, come before the girl's breasts develop. So the Mishnah says we treat her like a gedola, and therefore she has the option, in theory, if her husband dies and leaves her childless, to either do chalitza or yibam. However, baha elyon, ad shelo baha tachton, afal pi she'i efshar, Rabbi Meir omer, lo choletzes v'lo misya bemes, v'chachamim omer, ocho letzes o misemes. So it's kind of a very strange formulation, as the Gemara is going to clarify what this line means. But the simple understanding of what the Mishnah just said here is that if you have a situation where the breasts develop, where the pubic hairs did not develop, afal pi she'i efshar, even though it's impossible, there's still a machlokas. So the Gemara is going to ask, well, what does that mean? If it's impossible, then how could this case even exist? So the Gemara is going to clarify what this line means in a second. We'll see. Okay, then the Mishnah continues. Mipnesha amru, efshar l'sachton lavo achelo boha elyon, aval efshar l'elyon lavo achelo boha tachton. This is kind of the general principle that the Mishnah is operating with, which is that it's possible for the lower signs, for the pubic hairs to develop before the breasts have developed, but the opposite is not possible. So the Gemara asks the obvious question that we just asked before, How could you say that it's impossible? We just said that the breast developed before she had pubic hairs. So the Gemara says no. Rabbi Meir, what the Mishnah meant is that according to Rabbi Meir, it's possible for the breast to develop first. But according to the Rabbanan, it's not possible. So the Gemara says, well then, textually, the Mishnah is very, very strange. V'lisne baha elyon, Rabbi Meir omer lo choletzes v'lo misya bemes, v'chachamim omrim o choletzes o misya bemes, v'ame yadana mishum di'i efsharu. If you just wanted to get the point across that the Chachamim think that it's impossible for, I'm sorry, that the Meir thinks that it's impossible, I'm sorry, that the Chachamim think it's impossible for this to happen, so the Mishnah should have just presented it as follows. It should have said, what happens if only the upper signs develop and not the lower signs? So Rav Meir says nothing happens, meaning she can't do Chalitza or Yibam, and the Chachamim think that she can do Chalitza or Yibam, and then we would have figured out, based on that formulation, that the reason why this Machlokas exists is because you think that it's not possible for it to happen. So the Gemara says no. Ilotana Athlapisha E Efshar. Had the Mishnah not formulated it this way by saying it's impossible, so Hava Amina, I would have said, Rov Nashim Tachton Ase Beresha, Umiyot Elyon Ase Beresha. Maybe you could have argued that yes, it's true that the majority of women develop the pubic hairs before their breast, but maybe there's a minority of women who develop their breasts first. And therefore, I would have said, for Rabbi Meir Latane, that this is Rabbi Meir's general opinion, namely, Dechayesh L'miyuta. Rabbi Meir, throughout Shas in general, is always concerned for the miyut. Whenever there's a minority of something, typically Rabbi Meir is concerned for that minority. V'rabbanan L'tamayu D'lochayesh L'miyuta. Whereas the Rabbanan, generally speaking, are not concerned for that. So one could have argued that it's not impossible for a girl to develop her breasts before the pubic hairs, and maybe the Machlokas is reflective of this general question, but whether we're concerned for the miyut. However, the Gemara says v'hadi mili b'stama, but that might have only been true in a case where you didn't inspect the girl. Avalhicha devadkan v'lo ashkechan, but let's say you inspected the girl and you didn't find any pubic hairs. So emar modu le'le rabbanan l'rameir de'elyon kadim. One could have argued that maybe the rabbanan will in fact agree to Rabbi Meir that it's possible for the upper sides, for the breast, to develop first. Kamash malan di efshar. So the Mishnah teaches us otherwise. The Mishnah teaches us that it's impossible for a girl's breast to develop if she has not yet had pubic hairs. So what if there's a case where there are no pubic hairs? So the Gemara says, oh, vade aseyu mintar hu denasar. It must be that if you don't see any hairs, it must be that the hairs were there, they just fell out. So the Gemara says it's biologically impossible for this to happen. And the reason why the Mishnah had to specify that point is because otherwise you might have thought that this is really a general machlokas between Rav Meir and the Rabbanan regarding whether we're concerned for a miyut, and one could have thought that maybe there are cases where it's possible for the breast to develop before the pubic hairs. Kamash v'lon, that's not true. That's the ultimate conclusion.
Are you worried about the, once again, from yesterday, does the girl have to be 12 and a half years old for this to happen?
We're going to see as we go on in the Gemara that once the girl hits the age of 11, so then there's already a possibility, or at least a theoretical possibility, of developing. So we'll see as we go on what those, they're basically going to be three potential stages of where this girl is at in terms of determining whether she's a gadol. We'll see as we go along right now.
But she has to be gadola in order to do chalitza or yibam.
Well, Yes, yes, correct. She has to be a good, yeah,
however,
yeah.
However we want to define it.
Correct, correct, okay. Exactly. Okay.
Two hairs means
gedola? Two hairs, yeah, yeah, that's what we spoke about yesterday, right? Shanim to Siman. Generally, years, 12 or 13, and then the two pubic hairs, generally speaking, define.
Well, not two pubic hairs at 10 years old, right?
Well, correct, because they're, as we'll see, the Gemara says that if a girl has pubic hairs before that age, before whatever age it is, then it's just a shuma bialma. We assume it's just a mole, it's just some kind of a growth, it's not really, yeah. Okay, so the Gemara explains. Bishlam al Reb Meir, hainu dichsiv shadayim nechonu sarich tzimeh. So the Gemara says, I understand, according to Reb Meir, again, Reb Meir was the one who thought that it was possible for the breast to develop before the pubic hairs. So that would explain a pasuk from Yechezkel. This pasuk we actually happen to quote in the Haggadah. This pasuk basically is a mashal for Klal Yisrael's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, it basically literally means that the breast developed and the hairs grew. So the question is, but Elul Rabbanan Ibchami Boyale, but according to the Rabbanan, the pasuk should have been the opposite, right? Because if it's impossible for the breast to grow without the hairs growing, why does the pasuk in Yechezkel mention the breast before the hairs? So the Gemara says, no, Hachi Ka'amar Kevan Sheshadayim Nichonu Biyadua Shesarich Tzimeach, right? The fact that the girl already has developed breast is an indication that she already had hairs. So again, it's not that we take the pasuk chronologically necessarily. It's just indicating something to us. Then the Gemara continues. Bishlam al Reb Meir Haynu Dichsev Baasos Mimitzrayim Dadecho Leman Shedeinu Raich. This is another pasuk, also from Yechezkel, right? The pasuk also says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered us when we were in Mitzrayim, right? And that our breasts developed like the Shedeinu Raich, which again, the simple understanding of this pasuk is that first the pasuk references the breast. And then it mentions Shedeinu Uraich, which seems to be an allusion to the hairs. So the Gemara says, El Rabbanan Ibchami Baile, but according to the Rabbanan, the Pasuk should have been the opposite. So once again, the Gemara says, No, Hachi Ka'amar, Kevan Shabo Dadayech, Biyadua Shabo Nu Uraich. Again, the same idea, that once the breast have developed, it's a sign that she already had hairs. V'Iba Yasema, or another way to read this Pasuk, My Shedei, Kula Bedadeik, said maybe the whole Pasuk, even the part that says Shedeinu Uraich, was also an allusion to the breasts. V'hachi ka'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu li'Yisrael. This is what Hashem was saying to Klal Yisrael on top of Amud Beis now. Icharfu dadayich lo hadarpecha. Ishtadu dadayich nami lo hadarpecha. As your breasts were developing, you still didn't do tshuva. And even when your breasts fully developed, you also didn't do tshuva. Meaning the Jewish girls in Mitzrayim were acting promiscuously, and the pasuk just means that they were acting promiscuously the entire time. That's all the pasuk means.
Well, I mean,
probably both, but the pasuk here is talking about how the Mitzrayim took advantage of the Jewish girls. That's what the pasuk is referring to. But okay, so getting back to our topic, the Gemara says dechuli al mamia atachton samchina menolin. What's clear from this Gemara and from the Gemara that we spoke about yesterday is that we can definitely rely on the lower signs, on the pubic hairs. Again, the question about the breasts, whether they're an indication that the hairs already came in or not, was what we talked about before. But it's obvious from the Gemara that the lower hairs are definitely a valid sign of godless, of becoming an adult. The question is, what's the basis for that? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, V'chein Tana Devei Rav Yishmael. Amar Kral, the pasuk says, Ish o isha ki ya'asu mikol chatos ha'adam. The Torah says, again, this is a pasuk in Parashas Naso, when the Torah is describing certain types of karbanos, certain types of karban ashrams that you bring for violating me'ilah, the Torah equates a man to a woman for these types of averos. Hishva ha'kasuv isha la'ish l'chol onshin shabbatorah. So for the most part, when it comes to averos, men and women are exactly the same. You do, you know, pretty much any avera. Again, there are a couple of exceptions, but generally speaking, men and women have the same standard when it comes to lavin. So ma ish b'simen echad, af isha b'simen echad. So just as a man is obviously determined as a gadol based on the hairs, right? There's no such thing as a man's breast determining that he's a gadol, right? That's not a valid simen for a man. So too for the woman, it should only be that one simen. So asks the Gemara, okay, the ima ohai ohai. But then why are you assuming that it has to be the hairs? Maybe you could argue that for the woman, in other words, you could say, okay, fine, it only has to be one side, but who says it has to be the lower side? Maybe it could be the upper side. Gemara says, no, Ish, ma ish tachton velo elyon, af isha tachton velo elyon. Just as by the man, the only valid sign are the pubic hairs, so by the woman also, the only valid sign of being a gedola are the pubic hairs. And the Gemara says, Tani nami hachi, Amar Rabbi Eliezer b'Rab Tzadok, kachayim b'farshin b'yavne v'amru, kevan shabat tachton, shuv imashkichan al elyon. That's what they said in Yavne, is that once the lower signs develop, once the pubic hairs come in, there's no need to care about the breast anymore.
Why did they choose the example of Me'ilah that men and women are equal? I could choose the example of Erchin where men and women are not equal.
Well, correct, but Erechin is not an onesh, it's not a lav, right? So here we're talking about becoming a gadol or a gedola in terms of what your standards for onshin are, right? So the context of the pasuk that we're quoting happens to be talking about bringing a carbon for an avera, Okay. So now the Gemara continues. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Benos Krachim Tachton Mimaher Lavo. The girls who live in the cities, so their pubic hair is developed before their breasts because they frequent the bathhouses, which apparently has some effect on the pubic hair. Whereas Benos Kfarim, the girls from the villages, so Elyon Mimaher Lavo, their breasts develop faster, because they're constantly working the mills, because they're constantly working. So that. What?
Farmer's daughter.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, shirim tzad yamin mimaher lavo shenishof ba'af kerei susan. The rich girls, their right breast would develop faster because they would wear this upper cloak that was apparently draped over their right side, so that would cause their right breast to develop faster. Whereas the benos aniyim tzad small mimaher lavo mipnei sheshoavos kadimayim aleihem. Whereas the poor girls, their left breast would develop first either because they were carrying water on their left shoulder, v'ibayaseima. Because they would carry their younger brothers over their left shoulder. Tana Rabbana, tzad smol kodem litzad yamin. The Braisa says that the left side always develops before the right side. However, Rabbi Chanina ben Achi, Rabbi Yoshua Omer, no, may olam lo kodem tzad smol litzad yamin. It actually never happened that way, where the left side developed before the right side. Chutz me achas shahisa b'shunasi shekodem tzad smol litzad yamin v'chazer le'yisrael. There was one girl in my community, he says, that where her right side developed first, but then her breast ended up kind of recalibrating, I guess, and then they end up growing normally. Tana Rabbana, kol nivdakos nivdakos al pinashim. V'chein haya Rabbi Eliezer moser leishto v'Rabbi Yishmael moser lima. This is kind of, it sounds like an obvious point, but as we'll see, it's not so obvious that when you're inspecting a girl to see if her breasts are developed or if her pubic hairs have come in, you have to hand her over to a woman. Well, we saw yesterday that Shmuel checked his maidservant.
Yeah, but then he also gave her money for embarrassing her.
It's a different story. Yeah, that's true. That's different. Here the Gemara says that if you're going to inspect the girl, so it should be done by women for obvious reasons. However, the Gemara points out, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lifnei haperek uleachar haperek nashim bodkos osan, toch haperek ein nashim bodkos osan, she'ein masin tzfekos al pinashim. So comes Rabbi Yehuda and draws a distinction. He says, if the girl is under the age of 11, again, here in this Gemara, the age that we're focusing on primarily is between the age of 11 and 12. Once a girl is within a year of her bat mitzvah, so she actually has certain statuses of being a gedola. For example, there's a halacha that, let's say, for nedarim, so typically you can't take a nedar until you're a gadol or a gedola. However, the Gemara says once you become within a year of your bar or bat mitzvah, if you understand what you're saying, right, exactly, we're bodkin, we inspect to see that you know what you're talking about, and then your nedar could actually carry weight. So, for example, if the girl is under 11, so then any hairs she has are meaningless anyway. If the girl is over 12, so as we already saw before, we assume she's a gedola unless we know otherwise. So the only age that's problematic is between 11 and 12. So Rabbi Huda says women can inspect before 11, even though you don't really need to inspect anything before 11, or after 12, even though, again, it's also not so necessary. But that age between 11 and 12 is a time when you actually need to clarify what her status is, and women can't be affected for that purposes because it's like a form of edus, and women are, you know, can't give edus in that context. However, Reb Shimon Omer, he says, no, av tocha perek nashim bodko, so son, v'nemenes isha lahachmir avalo lahakil. He says, no, women can inspect her even during that 11 to 12 age. The only thing is that we're only going to believe the woman as a chumrah and not as a kula. What does that mean? Ketzad, gedola hi shalot temayin, ketana hi shalot tachlots, aval eina emenes, lomar ketana hi shet temayin, u gedola hi shet tachlots. Meaning, if the woman comes to us and says that this 11 and a half year old girl is a ketana, so if she's a ketana, what that means is practically that she cannot do yimim or chalitza. If she's a gedola, what that means is that she can no longer do mion, right? Mion, we spoke about before, right? We're basically walking out of a marriage if she was married off by her older brother or her mother. So, in other words, the fact that she can walk out of that marriage as a ketana, that would no longer apply. But if the woman tells us that this girl is a ketana and therefore she can do mion, or she's a gedola and therefore she can do chalitza, that we're not going to believe. In other words, we only believe the woman, according to Reb Shimon, to testify about her status between the age of 11 and 12 if it turns into a chumrah. But if it turns into a kula, then Reb Shimon says, then we're not going
to
believe.
Why don't we just say the reason why we don't believe it, because this has something to do with yichus. And with that's a riot. I mean that's a much more chumadic thing. It's not asking about a $20 bet or not.
Okay. Again, that was kind of Rabbi Yehuda's original point, right? Rabbi Yehuda said that you could never rely on women's testimony in general, right, for any of these matters. So Rabbi Shimon says, well, it's not a tie.
I'm sort of trust the women on something like on Mamanos. Than on yichus.
Well, generally speaking, there are a couple of exceptions, but generally speaking, we don't trust women's edus for almost anything.
I understand, right? That. So here it sounds like they're making a They make an exception here for this.
Well, again,
I can't believe he would make an exception on something that has to do something that shaykh is to Yiddish. I can't imagine.
But
be
it's only. But right. But that's the point, though. It's only an exception as a chumrah, right? That's Reb Shimon's whole point, right? Reb Shimon says that lekula there is no exception. We're not going to accept her testimony and let her do miyun or let her do chalitza. Right. We're going to prevent her from doing gibur or for miyun or chalitza. Okay.
Are you suggesting then that a man should do this inspection?
Of course.
Presumably.
Who else is going to do it?
Presumably.
Women are not remnant for an atheist.
Whether it's hair or not?
Give me a break.
Well,
what's
I mean,
the big deal? Exactly.
I mean, I guess you can theoretically get
Mitch,
like.
Mitch would
you,
be the.
I don't know. You
can.
You
can
do
all
the
deals.
You can. I don't know. Bring.
What,
bring
the
big deal.
Bring
the
big
deal.
Tell
the kid.
Bring her to an OBGYN. I don't know.
Who's doing this, and then what would be chumra kula?
You never went to a woman doctor. That's a big deal.
And is one
person not to a neurologist?
That's also an interesting question. It sounds like one would. I mean, the Gemara never addresses how many people you need. Says that a woman in certain cases would work and in certain cases would not. Yeah. Yeah.
We do have certain cases where a woman's
there are a few exceptional cases. Okay. That's an entirely different issue. The reason why we rely on our wives for kashrus purposes, according to many Rishonim, is not rooted in Eidus. The reason why we can believe our wives that the food that they're making is kosher is based on a different principle called Eid Echa Neman B'Yisur. There's a principle in general that, let's say, for example, a guy walks in and says, I know, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So, in other words, because that principle is different, like, for example, how can you believe your wife that she's not a Nida? How do you know? So Tosfos in the beginning of Gittin says that the source, the pasuk says, the Safra Lali Atzma, there's a special Chiddush HaTorah that a woman is believed to say that. So that's kind of a different issue. Right, that's based on Eidach Hanem and Yisurin. That's not based on this principle. Okay. 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 Okay, so the Gemara continues. Amar Mar, Reb Yehuda Omer, Lifnei Aperek Uliachar Aperek, Nashim Bod Kosasan. So again, we said before that according to Reb Yehuda, if the girl is before 11 or she's after the age of 12, then it's totally fine for a woman to inspect her. She doesn't have to be checked, and in fact, it's probably better for her not to be checked oftentimes, but we're talking about if she was already checked, then what the woman saw could potentially have, you know, credibility down the line. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Lifnei Aperek Bay Bedika Di Mishtak Cheliachar Aperek Shumanin. So what's the ramification of checking a girl before she's 11? So potentially it can actually make a big difference. Because as we said before, any hair that a girl has before 11, we assume it's just a mole. It's not really hair. So what if a woman checked the girl when she was 10, and then they check her when she's 12 and a half, and she says that's the same hair that she had 2.5 years ago, then she's not a gadola. That hair is the same hair. So the woman's testimony is believed about that. But el liachar aperek lama libedika, v'ha amarava, k'tana shehi gil l'chlal shenosea ina tzricha bedika, chazaka hevia simanik. We already saw, right, Rava's famous Chazakah, once a girl hits the age of 12, unless you know otherwise, she's probably a gedola. So why are we checking the girl after 12 years old? So the Gemara says, no, ki amar Rava, chazakah lemion, avalachalitza boy bedika. So for some seemingly arbitrary reason, the Gemara seems to distinguish between mion and chalitza. The only time that we can rely on Rava's chazakah is in terms of mion. Whereas when it comes to chalitza, for some reason, the Gemara feels that for chalitza, you actually have to inspect. Then the Gemara says, what about Tocha Perek? Ain't Nashim Bodkos or something. We said that when the girl is between the age of 11 and 12, so then we said that the women cannot inspect her. So the Gemara says, Kasavar, Tocha Perek, Kiliachara Perek, Uliachara Perek, the Ika Chazaka Lerava, Samchinar Anashim, Ubarke. So again, during this period between the age of 11 and 12, we said the women are not able to inspect her. So clearly. No.
Between
11 and 12 is the one time a woman cannot inspect her, because that's the time that actually makes a difference.
That's
right?
When it's a real shash.
Before, right, in other words, before she's 11, and no, we just assume even if she has hair, it's just a mole. After she's 12, she's probably a gadola anyway. Even if a girl has hair, the Gemara says
between 11 and 12 is the issue.
Correct, exactly. That's what the Gemara says.
Between 11, you automatically.
Any hair a girl has before 11 is meaningless. It doesn't constitute anything. So the Gemara says, well, again, that was the issue we just said in the Gemara before, because if the woman sees that same hair 2.5 years later, then she could say that hair is from when she was 10, and therefore she's still a katana. She's not really a gadola yet, right? So the Gemara says, that during the period between 11 and 12, the woman can't inspect her. So the Gemara says clearly that period between 11 and 12, halachically, we treat her as if it's kila'achar haperek, as if she's already a gedola. Uli'achar haperek, the ikah chazaka derava, and again, once she's already 12, where we have that chazaka to rely on, where we assume she's probably a gedola, so then, samchinan anashim ubarke. You can rely on the woman to check, because you're not really relying on anything, you're just relying on the fact that she's probably a gedola anyway. Exactly. Then the Gemara says, however, toch haperek, the leika chazaka derava, lo samchinan anashim, but lo barke anashim. Whereas, during the age between 11 and 12, where you do not have a chazaka, you do not have a working assumption that she's probably a gedola, so then you cannot rely on the woman's testimony, and therefore women are not allowed to inspect her between 11 and 12. Whereas Rav Shimon Omer, Av Tocha Perek Nashim Bodkos, Rav Shimon disagrees with Rav Yehuda. He says that even between the age of 11 and 12, a woman can inspect the girl, because he holds Kasavar Tocha Perek Kilifnea Perek, Ubaya Bedika. He holds that during that period of between 11 and 12, we treat her as if she's before the age of 11, namely, where if the woman tells us that once she's already 12, that this was the same hair that she had when she was 10, we believe her and we assume that this girl is still a katana. However, that's only going to work as a chumrah, like we said before. We're only going to believe her to prevent mion or to prevent chalitza from happening, but not to enable mion or to enable chalitza like we saw in the Gemara before. So the Gemara wants to know, hi man katanila, who is the author of this statement? So Iba Yasema Rabbi Huda Ve'atocha Perek. Even you could say this is Rabbi Huda talking, and we're talking about a girl between the age of 11 and 12, and that's why the bedika of the woman is not going to work. Rabbi Shimon, or it was during that time period, and you could say that Rabbi Shimon denies Rava's chazak. Okay, let's just go to the Mishnah, because we're early. So then we said in the Mishnah, Mimnesha Amru Efshar. Remember, the Mishnah presented this kind of strange formulation. He said, oh, it's possible for the breast to come in before the pubic hairs. And that was the machlokas that we had between Rav Meir and the Chacham, and whether that's possible. So the Gemara wants to know, Hatu Lamali Hatana Lerisha. Why does the Mishnah basically repeat what it already said to us about the fact that it's impossible for the breast to develop before the pubic hairs? The Mishnah already said that explicitly. If the reason why the Mishnah had to repeat that point is to teach me that we paskil like the Rabbanan, the Gemara says, Pshita, Yachid v'Rabim Malacha K'Rabim. We know that already. Of course we follow the Rabbanan. We always follow the Rabbim over the Yachid. So the Gemara says no, because Ma'u, the same I might have said, Mistabra time of the Rameir to come Isayel Ekrae. Rameir's reasoning seems more logical. Remember all the psukim that we quoted from Yecheskel on the bottom of Mem Chesem and Aleph that seemed to support Rameir's position that it's possible for the breast to come in first. So one could have argued that Rameir's more logical. Because we wanted to segue into the next Mishnah, which we'll get to tomorrow, which is Kayotsevo. Kayotsevo means similarly. We'll see all the Mishnahs that we're going to talk about tomorrow are about different topics that kind of segue from this topic. I don't necessarily have to like Rav Meir, but it's a continuation. Shkoyach.